The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. And as we begin our final hour, we begin with our impact segment. 20 plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. If you're just joining us, thank you for doing that. Some of you may still be listening from the previous hour and the previous impact statement and segment. I shared a monologue about some things that God's got on my heart. I don't need to get too in-depth again, but I just want to share with you. If you're a new listener, just a couple of quick thoughts. First and foremost, if you say you are a follower of Jesus, or I'll say it this way, just because one says they're Christian does not necessarily mean they're a follower of Jesus, okay? Number two, if you are a follower of Jesus, I would pray that above all, that we are obedient to him. And I got this word earlier today. It kind of recalibrated my spiritual perspective about some things I was really struggling with. And it kind of aligned me in God's truth. That the truth is, we are here to be obedient to him. And sometimes we're grieved by what we see in the world. And I think that a prayer that I shared when I first became a follower of Christ, please God, grieve my heart for what grieves yours. Whew, be careful what you pray for, right? So the world seems to be getting darker, and we have all these realities that we are dealing with in a matter of speaking. Supposedly, we have a new president, according to the media. We've been dealing with supposedly this thing called the coronavirus for 8 months, and you mix in all the other struggles, mental health, our children are not in school, all of these other things, economic devastation. It could cause some sleepless nights. But for me, I think the truth, once again, that I know on, it's very interesting when you know the truth, I'll speak for myself, that sometimes it's like when you relearn it, it's like, well, I already knew that, but I guess I didn't know that. What am I saying? That if I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm to be obedient to him, spend time with him, read his word, ask him to lead me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may say, I do that, and I can say, I do that, but do I consistently do that? And for me, it seems like when things get kind of dicey, that's when I'm more apt to cry out to him. And not that this is the litmus test, but I think many of you are struggling right now. I did a Facebook Live Saturday. I have, and look, hear me out. Satan, get behind me, you liar. Shut your mouth by the blood of Christ. So this is what I was going to say. Saturday I did a Facebook Live, and I've gotten three times the amount of people watching it. What's my point? I think my point is people are struggling, and I'm not some big, what's the expression? When somebody has a lot of followers on social media, what's the terminology? I'm not an influencer. Thank you, Zach. And I know Wilbert was going to jump on that too. Yeah, I social media? I look at some, oh boy, careful, Frank. I look at some pastors that have tons of followers on, say, Instagram, and I'm like, I hope and pray they're not influencers, because man, whose kingdom are they building? So I'm not interested in that. But again, I just get a sense that people are struggling. And those of you that listen to me for whatever reasons, let's listen to our King above all. And if I can impart some type of a view that will help you do that, I think that's partly why God has me here, to be obedient and to know his word and to pray for him. And also, it's easy, in a sense, to come to Christ. But then to walk with him, with all that will happen in sanctification, that's a whole other conversation. Said differently, followers of Christ, it's not about having a great time in this world. We will suffer. And that's a lesson that I relearn all the time. It's like I know that, of course, and I'm called to die to myself, pick up my cross, follow him, and the world's going to hate me. And I know all this stuff intellectually, but when it starts penetrating your every being, when people come at you, and then you have a sense of devastation, it's like, well, there it is. Burn that dross out of me, Lord. You are the King. You know what you're doing. But if we're not obedient to him, or if we struggle in between, like it's my will over thy will, then we've got some troubles. And the last part is this, and then we'll go back to the phones. Shut off the media. I'm going to sound like a robot here. I'm going to say this 50 times during the course of shows this week, if I'm on all week. Shut off the media. Stop watching. Stop listening to this poison. Because they say a position or a perspective or something they're saying is the truth doesn't make it the truth. If we spend one-tenth of the time getting into the Word than we spend watching the media, what's going on? This is horrible. We need to mobilize. We need to protest. I got a text the other day, time to get our guns. You know, we've all got these answers. No. Time, first and foremost, to once again ask yourself, am I right with God? Be obedient. Ask Holy Spirit to lead you. And then, if you want to pray in the Spirit about mobilizing or what he would have you do, then I would say, 10 thumbs up, absolutely. And here's one. Pray for President Trump. Now hold on, you haters out there. Don't be so quick. Let me speak for all of 90 seconds, and then you may go, oh, okay. Pray for President Trump. This man, he is a man. A flawed, fallible man with all sorts of character. Whew. Literally, all sorts of character and character who. But what he's done over the time he's been president of the United States, and I remind you, he's still president right now, boys and girls, friends and family. We're not to January yet. We're not even to December yet. We live in a country by which we adhere to the Constitution. We have laws, courts, etc. But here's the point. Pray for him. Pray that he will cry out to God, and whatever happens, that he will get right with God. And my goodness, pray for Joe Biden. That God will convict him. That God will reach him. That God will use him. If indeed he is the next president. Here's the last thought. Of all people, you know, the haters on the left when it comes to outspoken pastors, I'd say probably one of three at the top of the list would be Robert Jeffress from First Baptist Church in Dallas, because he's so outspoken. They don't like him at all. Did you see what Robert Jeffress said? I don't have the story somewhere. It's in my stack of stuff. I'll try to find another break. But basically, oh, here it is. I want to be accurate in quoting. This is a story from today. Maybe it's probably he preached it yesterday from the pulpit. Robert Jeffress says that Christians should pray for Joe Biden as much as they prayed for Donald Trump. Whoa, haters, take it easy. And Robert Jeffress has been at the forefront always supporting and defending President Trump. Satan's a liar. Twists everything. Jefferson said, quote, it appears that former Vice President Joe Biden will become the 46th president on January 20th unless President Trump succeeds in legal challenges to the counting of votes in several states. For millions of Christians across our nation, this is a bitter pill to swallow. Jefferson wrote, often supported Trump's policies in media interviews. Jeffers pointed Christians to Scripture and asserted that God appoints rulers, no matter the political party. He recounted a conversation he had with Trump in 2016 about the issue when Trump asked Jeffers, quote, do you believe it was God's will for Obama to be president? Whoa, not heard that one. Jeffers responded, yes, sir, I do. He also said, he told Trump, Daniel 2:21. It is God who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. Human governments and rulers, Jeffers wrote, change at God's direction and design. Our faith and our salvation lie not in any human ruler, but in the ruler of rulers, the King of Kings. We have to remember that even though the occupant of the White House is changing, the one who occupies the throne of heaven has not changed. The fact that God has established authorities means that by obeying the government, we obey God. And then Jeffress shared some more at the end. When Joe Biden becomes president, if he does, we should commend him for the things he does right. We should condemn the things he does wrong. And above all, we must pray fervently for our president. Even if President Biden succeeds, we all succeed. May God bless Joe Biden. May God bless the United States of America. Robert Jeffress. All right. Let's go to the phones. We've got four whole lines today. We've got some problems with the phone line. So if you can't get through and you want to share something, I check the emails somewhat regularly at franksontag@kkla.com. Who has been on hold the longest? It's Kimberly in Santa Monica. Kimberly, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. I am one of those people who are deeply, deeply struggling with everything that's going on. And I want to thank you. I hear your heart. And you're one of the few people I listen to. You're standing strong in God's word. Thank you. For instance, there were two pastors that are on Friday night, KKLA. We're giddy over the, you know, Democratic platform, you know, seemingly winning. I called in about the abortion issue, and it was not good. My head was spinning, and finally he started attacking me personally.
Really?
So that's that. Third, I just want to say there are marches that they're doing. They're called the Jericho marches, like the walls of Jericho.
Yes.
And I know a lot of Catholics are doing it. But it's open to everyone. So that's a way to help us feel a little less powerless. And we're not just going to protest. We're literally reenacting the March of Jericho.
I did see one. I don't know if it's connected. I saw one in New York a number of weeks ago. And I know people are really trying to pray about how to mobilize and what to do. I got an email from someone, I can't find it right now, about this Friday, November the 13th, and if you're listening, and if you have information on this, Kimberly, let me know. But if you're listening, something about this Friday, it's a day of action and we're to get off Facebook. I actually went on, I signed up on Parler yesterday. I'm going to dump my Twitter account. In fact, I'll tell the story in a moment. But yeah, I think many of us are praying about, okay, what do we do now? We're upset. We're frustrated. We feel like something is not right here. How do we exercise our power, if you will? And I think we need to pray about how are we going to mobilize. So I'm grateful you brought up the Jericho March. Any other information you want to share along those lines?
No, if you go to Dr. Taylor Marshall, he's the one that is, I think he's the one that started it.
Okay.
And they are having one coming up to march around the Capitol in Sacramento. So they're doing it all across the United States. The momentum is picking up. So, yeah, let's go out and pray together. Like, we're not going to get through this unless we get through this together.
Yep, amen. Thank you, Kimberly. Thank you for your call. David in Culver City. David, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, David.
Hi. You know, I do feel bad for Trump supporters. I understand how you feel because I felt the same way 4 years ago when Trump defeated Hillary. And, you know, I'm glad that Trump is going to go to the courts and make sure this is a legitimate election. I think that's his right. But I do hope, like Pastor Jeffress said, it will unite and try to move forward and respect each other and stop being such a polarized country. And I do believe people criticize Biden for being in it for 47 years, but he is a very experienced leader. And I'm hoping he'll bring the country together. I really am. That's what I hope. I want to be in a country that's more united.
Here's my response. I would like to suggest the country is more united than we are being told. I think we have a mouthpiece in the media that loves to spread dissension and division. I'm suspicious of that message. I agree with you. I think anybody that truly identifies as a follower of Jesus, like Robert Jeffress, and you know him, he's been at the forefront over 4 years, and he's been constantly... Go ahead.
I'm surprised, actually, how conciliatory.
But why? And why would you be surprised?
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just don't know him well enough.
Yeah.
I'm happy to see it. I don't believe, you know, I don't believe everything I see in the media. I happen to respect certain liberal outlets more than you do. That's fine.
Sure.
That's the whole point. We're a country with different points of view, and we were very evenly divided in this election. Except, I think, maybe not as evenly divided on about Trump. I mean, I think obviously the Democrats lost Senate seats. They lost House of Representatives seats. But, you know, I think a lot of the – I think, if anything, this was a referendum on Trump. But I agree, certainly he has a lot of supporters. He got a lot of votes. So we're a divided country, I think. But we do have to move forward. I think we have to move forward. We can't continue to be so divided and polarized.
Yep. David, thank you. I appreciate your call. And again, my own view, which is not necessarily the pathway to truth, but I suspect in my heart of hearts, I don't think we're as divided as the media makes it out to be. And I think they're responsible for some of the division. There was one more point I wanted to make, and let's see if it's even important because it's not coming to mind right now. Oh, okay. In terms of moving forward, I think the group, here's an example, maybe not the best example, but this is what comes up. The group, the Proud Boys, you know, the ones that the media are called like right wing, white supremacists and all that stuff. If you investigate at all who they are a number of men that love the Lord, and they're from all backgrounds. So here's my point. If we look at, and I'm not saying this is the double-blind study that proves one way or another, but if you look at who has been doing the rioting and the looting and the protesting, I don't see a lot of the right, if you will. So this idea of moving forward, where was it? What city did I see it? Was it Atlanta? It was one of the cities where some of the vote count was being contested over the weekend. I saw scores of people outside the place by which they were counting the ballots, and they were on their knees praying. That tends to be where we as followers of Christ tend to share our protest, if you will. We take it to the higher authority. Now, I'm not saying there aren't groups that haven't acted violently in the past, but I speak against these lies. I'm not talking about you, David. I'm moving on. I appreciate your call. I saw a video earlier today of a, how do I want to say this? I want to be careful. It was somebody in ministry calling out all of those that voted for President Trump and kind of spudding into a race message with some threats in it. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? If you submit to Christ, are obedient to him, are right with him, repent, that's where your power is. Now, are we going to say somehow racism isn't a problem? Of course it's a problem. And I'm not minimizing, I'm not invalidating, but I've seen pastors over the summer ranting and raving about racism and calling other pastors out, and I'm thinking, really? This is the number one issue? And the twisting of things by the media to make it look like this man in the White House somehow is even Joe Biden, I'm not going to get down this one too far, but even Joe Biden said that he was responsible, Trump was responsible for dog whistling the white supremacists. And I'm like, are you kidding me? But this is some of the nonsense we believe. And maybe part of the reason why we believe it is because we kind of get in our own will and away from God's will. But the church, if you didn't hear my message at 3 o'clock, I'll say this, we'll break and come back with more calls. My message at the top of the program was the church needs to speak out against abortion more. I'm tired of the church being silent on this issue, or somehow the rationalization. It's, well, what about the womb to the tomb? Yeah, what about it? Even in that expression, you say the womb. What about the womb? And I'll leave it at that. In terms of what we're dealing with, the realities and what may transpire in the coming days and weeks, I got an email from somebody I hold in a position of high reverence. He's actually a pastor. Brief, two sentences. I'll read on the other side. We'll take more phone calls. If you can't get through for some reason, know you're also welcome to email me at franksontag@kkla.com. And we will continue with your calls and more of this program next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. In the emails that I've received in the last 20 minutes, I want to share one and comment, and then we'll take more of your phone calls. I had made mention in the previous hour at great length about it's my view that the church needs to speak out against abortion, which to me is a large, large sin, and we are silent in this area. Now, let me read the email, then I'll clarify. It says, Frank, we could speak out against abortion, but if we focus on the darkness, who will see the light? We are to be lamps on a lampstand giving light to the whole room. I think we would do better to share with the abortion-minded the depth of the love of God and his forgiveness. There is no sin that can separate us from the love of God. The word says if we count or sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse of us all unrighteousness. It doesn't say accept abortion, all sin. And there's more. Let me clarify. I believe you misunderstood my position. I'm not condemning those that have made a horrible decision. I actually shared about a ministry. My best friend and his wife run an abortion recovery ministry. Yes, love is absolutely the essential. I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten from women listening now that have sent their testimony to me and the decisions they've made in their life and how they've been made clean by the blood of Christ. So with respect, if that's what you got, that's not my position. But if we don't say anything, which is my position, the church doesn't speak out against abortion at all. Again, I'm talking about the act of abortion, not those that have made that decision. And I'll leave it at that. All right, let's take more calls. 888-528-2557. Ann is in Gardena. Ann, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, I'm sorry, but I'm really upset and angry, and I'm trying to tone it down. I find myself appalled that we have accepted such great lies. We're being duped. We're being scammed, and the church, but as a whole, is so passive and we've got to obey our government. And we should know what the Bible says about the one world government and the great deceiver, I mean, the Antichrist. And we're watching it unfold, in my belief. We are watching it unfold. This is fraudulent. They're trying to take over illegally, and they have plans to do things that are totally, Marxist type of government. Let's put it that way. They're not playing, and they are lying and cheating. And so the church, I mean, I'm furious at that caller that uses scriptures about, well, God, you know, our ideas, religious ideas, that God tests us with this, and we'll see how we handle this, and then we'll go back to Republican. That's the most idiotic, passive, deceived thinking in the world. When we have fraud, we're to stand up and resist it. When people are lying to us and saying, a virus is killing us at a certain rate that is astronomical, when the truth is 0.009%, when do we stand up and say, enough, we recognize you are a deceiver trying to scam us? And I'm just really alarmed. I'm so alarmed that the church, one pastor on Facebook is like ranting too and saying, listen, this is coming down to the wire. Who's really a Christian? It doesn't mean we just pray and be nice and obey our authority when they're doing evil like this. We have to stand up and say, enough. No, we're not doing this. And, quite frankly, he said, any church that is still closed is a coward. Their pastor is a coward. And DC following the Antichrist. I'm adding that part in.
Well, let me interrupt, if I may. I thank you for the call. This isn't a popularity contest, but if you've listened to my show at all over the last few months, you would know I've said much of the same things that you just shared. And thank you for saying it again. The one thing I'm careful to do, and that is in this medium, it's easy to be misunderstood. People hear things shared out of context, or they listen for a few minutes, so I'll be clear again. When I say, and I know you weren't directing that at me, but when I say above all, we are to obedient to Christ, that's the number one thing. Jesus was asked to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'll speak for myself. I think sometimes I believe I am, but I'm not. That I don't love him above all. And so when things tend to become very challenging and it's a dark season, if you will, those are the times I tend to cry out. So I think above all, we are to be obedient to Christ. And with what you share, for me, the Christ we follow isn't a passive Christ. And I agree with you. I think that's a part of the problem in many of the Western church. We just preach this pacified, loving Jesus that just is fine with the whims of culture. That's not who Jesus is. So thank you for speaking out. Holly in Bellflower. Holly, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, my question for you is, a while ago, maybe like a year ago, you made the comment that you are a Christian.
Say that again. You dropped out just as you said a year ago, I said, and then your cell dropped out. Say it again.
Yes, refer to yourself like you don't say that you're a Christian. You are a believer in Christ, but you are not Christian. What does that mean to say that you are not Christian?
Difference? I don't say I'm not Christian, but I say there's a difference between being a follower of Christ and just saying you're a Christian. Now, I think I am Christian. I would say I'm a Christian, but above all, I'm a follower of Christ. There's a difference.
You think you're a Christian or you are Christian?
Well, if we're going to get caught up in words, I would say, yes, I'd be identified as a Christian, but above all, I'm a follower of Jesus. Now, if I can clarify,
Cause
okay, you just want to argue, but go ahead.
You, year ago you mentioned, you said that, and that kind of disturbed me. I'm new in Christ, so I've never heard that before, especially from a leader. I respect you as a leader, and that before from a leader of a follower of Christ.
What's disturbing and about saying?
You mentioned it. You mentioned it today again.
I did.
And you said that I'm not a Christian. You didn't. And I said, wait, I have to call. I never call. Okay. I totally get so nervous, and I would, like, fumble over my words. But yeah. I said, please, I need him to clarify this.
I'm trying to right now. So, please stop for a moment. I'm trying to clarify. Okay. What I'm saying is to be a follower of Christ doesn't necessarily, I'm saying it the other way, to be a Christian doesn't necessarily make you a follower of Christ. Anybody can say they're a Christian. That's just a word. I've taken calls on the air. People say they're Christian. They've never been to church, never read the Bible. They say they're Christian. But a follower of Jesus indicates you're actively in relationship with him. You look to the Bible as the word of God. That's why I kind of qualify. I would say, sure, I'm a Christian. I'm surely not Muslim. I'm not a Buddhist. I would say I'm a Christian. But above all, I'm a follower of Jesus. It's not an either or. It's a qualification, I think, that's important in this day and age when a large majority of people that profess to be Christians, I don't see any Jesus, let alone their understanding of what God's word says.
No, well, I'm not talking about others. I'm commenting on your comments. You saying that you don't, you've said twice, I'm not a Christian.
I didn't say that.
So
You're putting words, I just qualified it for you.
No.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm glad you did, but you have said before
that
you don't classify yourself as a Christian, but you are a follower of Christ. You said that twice.
Okay, Holly.
But I'm glad you clarified it. No, I'm so glad you clarified it, that you are a Christian.
Okay.
And, you know, because that means a lot.
What does it mean? What does it mean to be Christian? Tell me what that means to you. You say you're a new Christian. What does that mean?
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm a new Christian, but I don't know very much. I don't know a lot, but I know to have the heart of Christ, to love the Lord, to want to do His will, to do His ways, to follow His word.
Good. Yeah, that's wonderful.
That's what I believe, that's what it means to be. But I also think that it's wording, but to confess that you're a Christian is also important. Not to say like, oh, I follow His ways, but I'm not a Christian.
Yeah, see, I think where the loss in translation comes from is I equate somebody says that they're Christian. I hear the religious overtones. Here's one that I hope doesn't upset you. I'm not religious. I'm not religious.
Oh, okay. But you're not religious. No, that's not what I was asking. I just was commenting on the two times that I heard you said you're not a Christian.
Okay.
And so I wanted to know what that meant.
Yep, and I tried to explain. Hopefully, you have a better understanding now. Maybe I can't believe I would ever say I'm not a Christian, but I'm not here to say anything other than what you heard. And maybe there was a contextual issue, but I'll say it again. There are many people that say they're Christian, but there's a difference between saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, and being a follower of Christ. Above all, I am a follower of Christ. Here it is, not necessarily a Christian, if you will, in the religious sense. Please call again. I hope you continue to listen, and I'm grateful for your call today. Thank you, Holly. Need to break. Is it me? We've had a lot of women today on the phone. In fact, there's a few more. We have one line open, 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. One quick mention, and then we'll take more of your calls to finish the program today. I rarely promote my social media. In fact, I'm really praying about shutting most of it down. Yesterday, I did sign up at Parler, which I knew nothing about, but many of my friends say, hey, sign up at Parler. It's much better than Twitter. And I will tell you this, not spending a lot of time on Parler, just kind of signing up and watching. I circle back to Twitter last night. And I'm like, how does anybody put up with Twitter? You'll find a story on Parler that is the complete opposite of what we're being told 24/7, and you're like, wow, this is interesting. The other thing I wanted to make mention of in terms of promoting my social media, as of today, I still have a Facebook page, and I posted a Facebook Live on Saturday. It's 28 minutes. You may be blessed by watching it. I go into great detail about some of the things I've shared on the program today, but in much greater detail. So if that sounds like something that you are led to watch and keep in prayer, just go to Frank M. Sontag. That's my Facebook page. Or you can go to the show page, the Frank Sontag Show. I think I posted it on all of my sites. All right. Let me try to get to the four calls on the screen I have. Terry in Winnetka, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
I'll try to be quick because I don't need to monopolize your time. I was riveted by your conversation at 3 o'clock. I've been trying to follow Jesus faithfully for almost 60 years now, and I'm really impressed by how other people are learning so much and are so close to his heart, and I really appreciate you sharing that with us. The other thing is that connected with abortion are other issues of sanctity of life, such as euthanasia.
Yep.
There are, especially in Europe, but there are getting to be more of them here, older people who, after they've had a lot of medical treatments and they're quite debilitated and they feel like they're a burden on their families, they get to feeling guilty.
Yep. Yep.
And it's easy for families to talk them into euthanasia processes.
Yeah.
And we need to remember that wholeness, I know this is funny coming from a blind lady, but you know, wholeness is not the only the only measuring stick of life. For example, there are so many families who have developmentally disabled children, and these families, especially the siblings, will tell us that they learn more about love and more about happiness and more about godliness from their disabled siblings.
Yeah.
Than they do from anyone else. And I think we need to remember all these things regarding the value of life. And that's all.
Terry, thank you for your wonderful call. Thank you for sharing so clearly what I also believe is God's heart on such issues. I look forward to the next time. Thank you for calling today. T in Bellflower. Two words. T, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. Good to hear. Good to feel you, man. I was part of abortion and that whole thing. When I found out Hillary was pro, you know, I mean, these people are infanticide, even the baby born out of the womb. So my point is, I have a hard time with people saying I am a Christian and they can be a Democrat. The Democrat Party was once the Democrat Party, but it has morphed into a monster. And another thing, too, I wanted to share that we as believers need to get off the pew and get involved, whether we run or the only way we're going to attack abortion is by putting God-fearing people, constitutionalists like Amy Barrett that we just have, into the court. And we've got to at least go that route because that's really the only thing that's going to overturn abortion. We can go stand in front of abortion clinics all day long, and it's not going to stop the problem. So we have to attack it at the highest level. And just to be, you know, unfortunately, the people that follow Jim Jones drank the Kool-Aid. And we need to stop drinking the Kool-Aid and understand that this isn't about Donald Trump and Joe Biden. This is about drain the swamp, light versus murderous darkness. And once we go over that cliff, that precipice, it's going to be Kamala Harris because Joe's not going to last 10 minutes in that White House. He'll be in the basement licking envelopes. She'll be in the Oval Office taking care of business.
Dee, I appreciate the call. I need to get two more on. We can pick up where we left off. I appreciate your call today, and I hear you loud and clear, and I pray many other people do as well, and that we do pray about this for sure. Carolyn and Andrea, you'll be the last two callers. Carolyn and Carson, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Okay, great, Frank. The abortion and the church not speaking, I feel, is the crux of the matter, at least especially in the Afro-American community, well, of which I am. And I feel the Afro-American community put Biden over the hump or made it as close as it is, but I know it's not over till it's over. I agree with you on that. Even as early as 4 or 5 years ago, I assumed every Christian was against abortion. Silly me. I can go by my family members, people I know of the church. Now, man on the street, I could give them that slack. But I thought, oh, no, because, you know, so anyway, I'm guessing, one, because they maybe had it, which I shouldn't have said. And like you said today, you're talking about the current ones. Sure, we all make mistakes and things, but we're not condemning that, and you can be forgiven of that. But anyway, the last Saturday on the Christian radio, so they play gospel music on Sundays only, and they had all day calling in, and everybody just gloating. They're so happy, Biden and Kamala. And by the way, I feel Trump, I mean, Biden played the race card by even putting her on. The black community were just so, oh, because of racism is a big thing right now. And I've been thinking, screaming myself, let's go back. He said, the announcer on the program, the moderator said, oh, that elf in the room, the 70 that voted for Trump, which I did both times. He said, and I said, no, the elf in the room is the abortion. Now, how can you all call yourselves Christians? But anyway, that's my whole, I'm so disheartened about it. And I keep thinking it's me, but I hear you come on, okay. And many times I hear you, okay, I'm not the only one out there.
No, you are not the only one out there. There are scores of people that love the Lord that know that there is a certain complicity with evil in parts of the church, and we need to speak out against it. Carolyn, I hope we talk again soon. Sorry I had to limit your call. We're up against the clock. Andrea and Gardena, we've literally got a little more than a minute. It's all yours.
Hi, Frank. I just wanted to state that I do agree with you when you state that you're a follower of Christ and you do identify as a Christian, but that anyone could say they're a Christian. And case in point, today there's a gentleman I work with that has been telling me he's a Christian. Okay, cool. But today in the lunchroom, he was cussing up a storm, and I was taken aback. I turned around, and I wanted to say, and you say you're a Christian. I don't want to be judgmental, but it's really true. And just like the lady before us was saying about how Christians voted for Biden, and therefore, you know, they promote abortion. So how can you be in line and aligned with that? It's just, follower of Christ is so much better, and we're to be Christ-like.
Andrea, I thank you. I apologize. I stepped on you right at the end there because I'm really late. Please call again. I'll give you more time. If you have any thoughts as well, you can email me at franksontag@kkla.com. God bless you all. More of the Frank Sontag Show next.